I began this series by talking to you about fear, power, love, and a sound mind. Of course, basing that on 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. It is so abundantly clear that fear is controlling the lives of millions and millions of people all over the world. It's true of Christians as well as unbelievers. So I've already said a lot of things to you about fear. Probably we'll have some more to say in the future. We'll just see. We all know that our world is changing rapidly. I remember as a young man hearing older people talk about things were speeding up. I'm not saying this because I'm older now. I'm saying this because things are speeding up. There are a lot of things that are occurring which can cause fear. They can create fear. But as I've said before, we should never allow ourselves to be controlled by fear. But you know, there is a reason that fear seems to be ever present with us. And the better you understand what I'm about to say, I think the easier you will find it to deal with the fact that fear seems to be ever present. The real source of the fear is not the people that we can see with our eyes and that we can hear with our ears. And it is much too easy to forget that. The real source is what Paul was talking about when he wrote in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. That's how we know it. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, oftentimes, it sure looks like we're wrestling against flesh and blood. But the Bible says we are not. Jesus told us there is always going to be trouble. And Paul told us the reason. It is this spiritual world. It's these principalities. It's these powers. It's these rulers of the darkness and of spiritual wickedness. They don't die. And they never get voted out. Amen. The evil kingdom never goes away. It will one of these days. And they know it. But that day has not come yet. These evil spirits just find more people who are willing to allow themselves to be used to accomplish their evil agenda. And create more fear. Now, if we did not know what we know, this could come out sounding hopeless. However, much of what Jesus had to say and much of what the New Testament is about is creating hope within us and letting us know we are not defeated. Period. When the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, he was reminding Timothy, you have a gift, but you have much more than a gift. You have all the power you need to go with that gift. And you have all the love you need to use that gift. And you have the sound mind necessary to accomplish your mission and your purpose in the earth. So he was saying to Timothy, therefore he's saying to us, it is up to you to stir the gift up and use these tools. Now at the end of my last message, I quoted Luke 10, 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And I pointed out that statement contains two very different words for power, two very different Greek words for power. The first one is the Greek word for authority, and the second one is the same Greek word I've used in previous messages for power, which is dunamis. The devil has power. It is a power that is in him because of his nature, but the power of the devil is no match for the authority of the believer. I said the power of the devil is no match for the authority of the believer. The authority we have been given is more than enough to deal with the power that the devil has. So I went on to say, we do not even need to use the power we have on the devil. We just need to use our authority. Now, there are a lot of people that don't know that. They don't understand that. I was in a certain place one time holding a meeting. It was not in Oklahoma. That's all I'm going to tell you. Not in Oklahoma. And there was a line of people up front, several people. And so I'm walking along, laying hands on these people, and I stepped in front of this person. And immediately I was aware that there was some demonic activity going on there. And so I just said to that person, open your eyes, look at me. They did. And I said about like this, in Jesus' name, I command you to go. Get out of here and don't you come back. And I said to this person, now repeat after me. In Jesus' name, they did. I command you, leave me alone, and don't come back. I said, now then, don't back up on that. Don't change your mind about that. Don't say anything different to that. Stick with that. You'll never deal with this again. And I just walked on and ministered to the other people. I did not get out of the building before a man in that church stopped me. And I'm telling you, he raked me over the coals up one side and down the other. He said, as long as you've been in the ministry, don't you know you've got to get forceful with these things? You need to raise your voice. You need to yell at them. You need to stomp your feet. You need to get fierce. You can't just talk to them like you talk to that person and deal with the devil. He finally stopped to catch his breath. And I said, what in the world is the matter with you? I said, do you think the devil is afraid of you? I said, you can scream all you want to, buddy. It's not the loudness. It's not your attitude. It's not the way you behave. It's whether or not you know you have authority. I said, don't you understand authority? No, he didn't understand authority. He said, you just don't get it. I said, no, the problem is you just don't get it. I hope you never run into a demon. You're going to be in deep trouble. And then I just turned around and walked off. It's about authority, folks. I said, it's about authority. But whenever I said we don't even need to use the power we have on the devil, we just need to use our authority, I knew when those words come out of my mouth, it might catch some of you off guard because you might not have heard that before. But it set up what I need to speak about today, and that's power versus authority. Or if you prefer, power and authority. Either way, but I'm going to set these one opposite the other to anticipate giving you a broader understanding of both of them, power and authority. These are two very different things. And the King James translators did not do us any favors by using them at times as though they are interchangeable. Luke 10:19 in the King James is not a very good translation. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Jesus actually said, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. Say that out loud, but change it a little bit and word it like this.
I have
been given authority over all the power of the enemy. Now, power in the hands of the right authority can be a real blessing. Power in the hands of the wrong authority is dangerous. All you need to do is look at what is happening right now in Afghanistan. Power is in the wrong hands in Afghanistan, and it is in the wrong hands in the United States. The irresponsible actions of this president is shocking. Having authority and power is not enough. It is essential to have a sound mind to go with that authority. Otherwise, the power which can be used by that authority can become very, very dangerous. I will continue. We might feel sorry for Joe Biden because he is senile. But if these are the kind of decisions he's going to make, then it is time for some real change. When the wrong people are in authority, they can bring death and destruction to innocent people. They may not do it on purpose. They may do it because they never should have had access to that kind of authority in the first place. We have this very clear word from the Lord. It's Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Now, I want to use all of this to make three very important points. Number one, the devil must. Say the word must. The devil must work through people in order for his power to have any real impact in this earth. The power comes from the devil, but it operates in human flesh. At the same time, God has chosen. Say the word chosen. God has chosen for his authority in the earth to work through people. So the devil must work through people. God has chosen to work through people. Big difference. Big difference. Now, what I find really, really interesting is that God not only has chosen to have his authority over the devil to work through people, he has also chosen to put his power in us. So we have power and authority. Now, I figure that anybody that's been here twice enjoys a message that makes you think. If you keep coming back, you surely must. Because I'm always trying to make that happen, and I'm not going to quit. But all that I just said to you brings up an interesting question, which frankly I've not yet resolved to my satisfaction. I'm going to just throw the question out there and then just move on. And I'll be thinking about this a lot more before I draw my final conclusion. We know the devil has power. We know that. We know that because Jesus gave us authority over that power. But now here's my question. Does the devil have any real authority in the earth? Ponder that one for a while. He has power, but does he have any real authority in the earth? God has power and authority. We've been given power and authority. The devil has power, but does the devil have authority in the earth? Or is the devil completely dependent on people who serve him to get in places of authority so the devil's power can be used in the earth? Now, don't get me wrong. Power is an awesome thing. Several nations of the world have atomic bombs. And those bombs are very, very powerful. And for many years now, the power of those bombs has been controlled by the authority of the people in charge of the countries that have those bombs. Now, by that alone, you can see that authority is much more significant than power. That is, as long as the authority is being used in the right way. I'm just taking some time with this to help you separate these two things in your mind. Power, authority. Authority, power. We have all seen athletic teams where the coach was giving orders aggressively, forcefully, to a group of men who were 2-3 times his size. And we've watched that, and just one of those guys could have picked that coach up with one hand and thrown him up in the air like a rubber ball. But clearly, the authority of the coach controlled the power of those gigantic players. The devil and demonic forces are much more powerful than we are, yet the authority we have been given by Jesus is something they are very much aware of, and they are very afraid of that authority. I did not include this scripture today because I know that you can quote it if I start it. Resist the devil and he will
flee.
He will what?
Flee.
He will flee. He will flee from Jesus. He will flee from God the Father. He will flee from the Holy Ghost. He will flee from the angels. Resist the devil and he will flee from? Some of you said he will flee from you. Some of you said he will flee from
me.
Let's all get on the same page. He will flee from me. Man, that's something you need to embrace. I know the scripture says he'll flee from you. I know that. I understand that. You were quoting the scripture. But it needs to come off the page and get on the inside of you. He will flee from me. He will run in terror. Your authority given to you by Jesus terrorizes. You're a terrorist. You are a Holy Ghost terrorist. You got that, didn't you? He will run in terror. Look at Acts chapter 19, verse 11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." Boy, I've only got one word for that. Dumb. Wow. Verse 14. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. Kind of sounds like it's these seven guys that we're really talking about here. I think it is. Verse 15, and the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. This evil spirit knew Jesus. This evil spirit knew Paul. What did this evil spirit know? He knew that Jesus and Paul had authority, but he also knew Jesus and Paul knew their authority over him. But he could also tell by the very words these men used, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." He didn't have to be a smart demon to understand these guys have no authority. And besides that, he figured out they knew they had no authority. This one evil spirit had the ability to overpower seven grown men. He stripped off all of their clothes, he wounded them, and they ran for their lives. Now, another thing we see in this story is that the evil spirit could only exert this power by using the man he possessed. The man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them. That's important. Remember that. That one man could not have done this to these seven men. But that evil spirit could, and he did. That evil spirit knew if this was Jesus or if this was Paul, the authority they had would control the power the evil spirit had. He knew all of that. They still know it. I said they still know it. I was in a service one time, and there was a lady standing in front of me. I closed my eyes, and I could see her. That's an amazing thing to realize after the fact. I could see her as clearly with my eyes closed as I could with my eyes open. I don't know what her nationality was, but she had a scarf, it looked to be like, over her head, and it hung down on her shoulders. Dressed very nicely, but as I stood there with my eyes closed, I could see two demonic spirits, one on each shoulder. I saw no facial features whatsoever, but I did see some kind of appendages. And the one on this shoulder had that appendage stuck in this ear. And the one on this shoulder had that appendage stuck in this ear. And so I stood there for a moment, and I spoke to those demonic spirits and commanded them to leave. Now, I'm not going to get into the whole story because it's long. But the moment I said, in Jesus' name, I command you to leave, those things hit the back wall of that great big building instantly. There was a force that came against them. They flew through the air. I saw them. And I mean, they hit the, and they were stuck to the back wall of that building. I could see it. Now, I'm not telling a story I've told for the first time. I've told it many times, as a matter of fact. It was one of those things that I got to share with Kenneth E. Hagin. And I began to describe to him what I saw. And as was very typical of him, as I would talk about it, he'd say, yep, 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 yep. Sometimes that's all you got out of him was yep, 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 yep. And finally he said, Well, Doc, that's what I saw too. Now, he wasn't there. He wasn't talking about that one. He wasn't talking about that meeting. But he said, I've seen those. I shared that with Lester Summerall. And he said, well, Ken, those were deaf spirits. I said, yes, they were. The woman was deaf. But those things had no ability to resist the authority that I knew that I had. Did you hear that? They had no ability to resist the authority that I knew that I had. I still have that authority to this day. So do you. I said, so do you. Jesus did not give me one kind of authority and give you a different kind of authority. You've got the same kind of authority that Jesus has, and I've got the same kind of authority that Jesus has, and it works the very same way for you and for me that it works for Jesus. We just have to use it. I'm going to come back to the statement that I made last week. The authority we have been given is more than enough to deal with the power the devil has. We don't even need to use the power we have on the devil. Just use your authority. We use the authority we've been given to deal with the devil. Now listen. But we use the power we have been given to clean up the messes the devil makes. Like sickness and disease. Infirmity. I'm endeavoring to show you the general way in which these two things are to be used. That is, authority and power. Now, what exactly do I mean and what do I base it on? Matthew chapter 21. Boy, that is an amazing, amazing chapter of the Bible. First, it records Jesus riding on a donkey that had never been ridden. I don't know if, how many of you have ever ridden a horse? Let's just start there. You've ridden a horse. Put your hand down. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands on the next question. It is, how many of you have successfully ridden a horse? Some of you have. Well, how many of you ever tried to get on a horse that had never been ridden? You have. How did that go? Oh, She gave her secret away. She said it went very well because he'd been trained first. Well, we're talking about a donkey that's not been trained. The only animal I've ever attempted to get on that had not been trained for a human to ride it was a cow. Actually, a large calf, to tell you the truth. That did not work out very well. I did not ride very far. It only took him a couple, three steps, and I was on the ground. But I was with a buddy of mine whose father owned the calves, and so we tried it again and again and again and again until his dad saw what we were doing and came out and stopped us, probably before we got seriously hurt. But Jesus rode this donkey. And then Jesus ran the money changers out of the temple. And then next, Jesus cursed a fig tree and it dried up from the roots. Now be careful how you answer. In regard to those three things, were those acts of power or were they acts of authority? The chief priests thought they were acts of authority. You're going to see that in Scripture in a moment. But to help you out, just think like this. Jesus never addressed the devil that we know of when he sat down on that donkey. If he said anything to that donkey, we don't have any record of it. But this little donkey that's never been ridden, he's going down this road, and people on both sides of the road are yelling and screaming, and they're throwing stuff down in front of him. And, you ought to try riding a horse, and somebody throws something in front of him. You better hang on. We're going to have a rodeo right here and now, I'm telling you. And this thing doesn't get shook at all. As far as we know, Jesus never said a word to him. And then Jesus ran the money changers out of the temple. All he had to do was just turn the tables over and tell them to get out. Do you picture Jesus running through the temple saying, "In Jesus' name"? I think some people have that picture. You think he said, "Devil, get out of here"? No. I think he made such a mess of things that he just said, "Get out of the temple," and they left. For the time being, anyway. Jesus cursed a fig tree. "You foul, demon-possessed fig tree. I know you're demon-possessed because you didn't give me any figs." No. We know what he said. You've read it 100 times at least. What did he say to that fig tree? "No man," can you finish it? "Eat fruit of you hereafter forever, you foul devil." No, he didn't stick that on there, folks. I'm just drawing your attention to this to help you gain some understanding here. Jesus never addressed the devil. But each of these was, now listen, a public rebuke of the devil by the actions Jesus took. Just think about that. Who's responsible for it being difficult to ride a donkey? Who started that? Donkeys were created to be ridden by people. Horses were created to be ridden by people. Isn't that true? The devil's the one goofed all this up. He's the reason those money changers are in the temple. He's the reason this fig tree is not producing figs. Isn't that true? So by using his authority, Jesus has publicly rebuked the devil. Did you follow that? He's using his authority. Look now at Matthew 21, verse 23. Now when he came into the temple, the chief priests and elders of the temple confronted him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" But Jesus answered and said to them, "I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you, by what authority I do these things." See, he was using his authority. He's admitted it right there. He's using his authority. But he's just not about to tell them where he got that authority. He throws his questions at them. The baptism of John, which was it from? Was it from heaven or was it from men? Well, they reasoned among themselves and said, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, then why did you not believe him? But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus and said, "We don't know. We do not know." And Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." So all three of those things, his authority. You use your authority, how? Over. Have you been listening? What do we use our authority for? Come on, talk to me. We use our authority over the devil. There are lots of ways to do that. And Jesus showed us three intriguing ways in that story. Okay, remember that. Now, the Passion Translation of Luke 10:19 is intriguing. Now, you understand that I have imparted to you my authority to trample over his kingdom. You will trample over every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses. I have imparted my authority to overcome his power. Absolutely nothing will harm you as you walk in this authority. There is a sermon series right there. Don't anybody get offended in here or watching me on YouTube or however you see this. But if you want to know one of the major reasons that Christians seem to often go through the same stuff, suffer the same things that unbelievers do, it is because they do not walk in this authority. Amen. You got to walk in it, folks. You got to use it. You got to know you got it, but just because you've got it doesn't mean you're using it. You got to use this authority. And one time is not enough. You'll use this authority the rest of your life. Now, I'm focusing on the word authority today, but don't be concerned. I've got a lot to say about power. We'll get to that later on. But here's another scripture I believe is very important. It's Mark chapter 1, verse 27. "And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." Said out loud, I use my authority to deal with the devil. I can use my authority to deal with the devil in many ways. I can curse a tree. I lost some folks on that one. Let's try that again. I can curse a tree. I don't know if you're ready for this one or not. Let's try it anyway. I can ride a donkey that's never been ridden. Okay, you go first. How's that? That's what some of you are thinking. Well, I'm just trying to make a point. You will encounter many things in your life where you don't see something rolling on the ground back and forth, growling and foaming at the mouth, but the devil is involved anyway, and you know he is. And I'm just saying to you, step up and use your authority to deal with the situation. That's the message that's coming forth. In this scripture, Mark 1:27, this is the same Greek word for authority. Now, the next verse that I'm going to talk about is what caused me to begin thinking the way I do about the use of our power and authority. Passage after passage that speaks about demonic spirits and dealing with them uses the word authority. But look what Jesus said to the 12 disciples. This is Luke 9:1. Then he, that's Jesus, called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Now, once again, I'm going to refer to the Passion Translation, because I think he does a better job than the King James. Jesus summoned together his 12 apostles and imparted to them authority over every demon and the power to heal every disease. Do you see that? Do you see how he split that? And that's what I'm doing in this message. Now, it's absolutely the truth. What I'm about to say is absolutely true. I had never read that in the Passion Translation until yesterday. But I had gotten this in my spirit, this division between authority and power. And authority is something we use over demons and over the devil, but power is what we use when it comes to healing the sick. Come on. Strong defines dunamis as miraculous power, the power to work miracles. Jesus imparted to them authority over every demon and the power to work miracles in regard to every disease they encountered. Now that's why I said what I did about using the power we have been given to clean up the messes the devil has made. I have found that teaching in this church is very, very dangerous. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, what I mean by that is I get in here and you guys just start pulling and pulling and pulling and pulling, and I get under the anointing, and before I know it, I'm saying things that I have no clue how I'm going to back it up. You have no idea how many times I've done that. And I've left this building. Some of you wonder, why doesn't he stand around and talk to us more? Why doesn't he more? Because my head's spinning. I'm thinking, how in the world am I going to back that up? God, you got to come through. And he does over and over and over and over. That's why I said it's dangerous. It's okay. I love it. As long as he keeps coming through, I'm okay. Now, the devil is the root of all sickness and disease and deformity and every other human ailment. He caused all of this mess that we call COVID-19. Delta, or whatever other words they want to tag on behind that. Doesn't matter. He's causing the mess. We need more than authority to deal with this. We need power. Amen. Now listen carefully. Authority and submission always go hand in hand. Always. But submission can actually happen in two different ways. There is a willing submission, which is always a response to love by both parties involved. The person who is submitting does so because of their love for the person they are submitting to. This love by the person who is submitting is actually derived from the love being shown to them by the person they are submitting to. I just rephrased Ephesians 5 in my own words. Paul placed a strong emphasis on wives being submitted to their husbands. But if you'll notice, Paul placed an even stronger emphasis on husbands loving their wives. It is the love of that husband that causes the desire and the willingness of that wife to be submissive. I used to do a lot of marriage counseling. I don't do that anymore. Sometimes I'd spend all day long marriage counseling. I'd walk out of the office and go home saying, "Don't affect me, don't affect me, don't affect me, don't affect me." It was about to drive me nuts. So I quit. Especially when I found out that 99 9/10% of all the people that were coming to me for counseling did not go to my church. They went to other churches in Tulsa. And so I got up the next Sunday after I'd made this decision, and I said, "From now on, I will only talk to you in the foyer after the service. No more counseling." And then I went on to say, it's this simple. If you go to the doctor and you're having trouble with your stomach, he's probably going to ask you, "What have you been eating?" If you're coming here, I know what you're being fed. If you're going somewhere else, I don't know what they're feeding you. So I really don't know how to respond to your stomach trouble. Come on, keep listening to me. I don't know all those influences that are in your life, and so there's no point in me getting deeply involved in what all is going on unless we can get down to what's causing the problem in the first place. But if you come here, I'll feed you, right? Because I had also discovered about, I don't even know the percentage, it was high, of the people that came to me really wanted to talk me out of something I'd said that day in the sermon. Yeah. So I quit all that. But I figured out a long time ago that there were a lot of women that were married to men that honestly, I don't know why any woman would have submitted to them. I know you think I'm off the subject. No, I'm not off the subject. I'm still talking about authority, and I'm talking about power, and I'm just edging into it little by little in this way. Say it out loud, submission,
submission.
And authority. They go hand in hand. You can't really separate those two. You really can't. But a lot of people try. But you see, a lot of the rebellion that we see in the United States right now, which, by the way, rebellion is the antithesis of submission. Okay? And a lot of this rebellion has as its roots the way the leaders of this nation have treated common, ordinary people. And we have no desire to be submitted to their laws, to their rules, to their mandates, and on that we hear these people spewing out of their mouths. We know they do not care anything about us, so that definitely has an impact on how we view their authority over us and our submission to them. And that's true no matter what relationship we're talking about. I've been to churches, and probably most of you have too, where there is no way I would have ever been submitted to that pastor. Why? Because of the way he treated the people. Clearly didn't really care anything about them. Why would that cause submission? It doesn't. It causes the opposite. And this brings up the other type of submission, which is not really submission. It's forcing people to do what you want them to do. Slavery might be a better word. This second type of submission can only happen when there has been a complete defeat by one party of another party. Now, take what I just said and relate that back to what we know about Jesus and the devil. Jesus has utterly and completely, totally defeated the devil. Why? Because there was no other way to cause the devil to submit to the authority of the Lord Jesus, and therefore to us, except by bringing about his total defeat. And the devil and his demonic forces have no choice but to submit to the authority of the Lord Jesus. They have been utterly, totally defeated, and when they encounter this authority, they put up no resistance. They know the power of God. They know what lies ahead of them as well. So there's only one problem, and that's when a person encounters them, and it's a person who does not know the authority of the believer. That's when you have a problem. But what I have just described to you is why we do not use our power when dealing with the devil. Jesus has already done that. I want you to say that out loud. We don't use our power when we're dealing with the devil simply because Jesus has already done that. You can't beat him up any more than Jesus did. You can't take anything away from him. Jesus has not already taken away from him. You can't give him a worse future than Jesus has already promised him. So no point in trying all that. Just use your authority to deal with him anytime you have to. And that works. And he's very fearful of it. All it takes is our command, our words, and he must obey. Because the devil knows who is backing us up. We use the authority we have been given. Now, before I stop, I want to take you back to Luke 9:1 one more time. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. If the authority is what we use to deal with the devil, then what is the purpose of the power? We have been given this miraculous power to cure diseases. That's what I'm calling to clean up the messes the devil has made. May I just say, we know a little bit about this, but boy, do we ever have a lot more to learn. Yes, we do. We know the power is there. We know we've been given the power. We know these things should happen. We know they should happen more often. We know they should happen every time a person comes to us who is sick, who has a disease, who wants to be well, who believes they can be well. We know it ought to work every time. But we've got a lot to learn. And I'm going to promise you, for the years I've got left on this planet, I intend to learn everything I can about using this power. How about you? How about you? And I intend to share it with everyone who listens. Because I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is about to be poured out on this earth. I'm telling you, He's about to be poured out on this earth like never before. And I know there's a whole lot of Holy Ghost filled people. They speak in tongues, you know, all the time. I understand all that. And they think, well, I guess that don't mean the Holy Ghost is going to be poured out upon me. I already got the Holy Ghost. Wait a minute. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Yes, I'm full of the Holy Ghost, but He's going to pour out His spirit upon me. What do you think that's going to do to me? I don't know. I can't wait to find out. Come on, bring it on today. Amen. I know I have authority. I know that. I know you have authority. I know I have power. I've seen that power operate. Many, many times I have. But I want the Holy Ghost poured out on me. I want His Spirit poured out on me. I'm ready. Today's a good day. Let's get it going. Let's get it started right now. There's lots of sick folks out there. There's lots of people with lots of problems. You know them. They're all around you. Seems like every time I talk to our neighbor, our closest neighbor, about every time I talk to her, she's telling me about somebody else around her that's sick. Well, you know, so-and-so, he was in the hospital. Well, you know, so-and-so, they were in the hospital. It's constant. And I think, wow, wouldn't it be something to just go from one house where we live to another saying, I came with power. I came loaded with power. Would you dare let me in the door? Would you just let me lay my hands on you? Would you just let me touch you and let the power of the Holy Ghost flow into you and just release you and relieve you of that sickness, of that disease? Oh, by the way, I'm a terrorist. If there's any demons here, don't worry about them. I'll just terrorize them right on out of your house. You don't have to mess with them anymore. Power and authority. They've both been given to us. Glory to God. Would you stand to your feet, please? Hallelujah. 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 Holy Ghost, teach us. Holy Ghost, fall on us. Holy Ghost, empower us even more than we already know. Saturate us with your presence. Oh, may there never be another moment in time we're not walking in the Spirit. Wow. Every day, all day, living in the Spirit. That's where we want to be. Every day, all day, walking with you, communicating with you, listening to you, hearing from you, doing the things you instruct us to do. That's our heart's desire. We crave it, Lord. Pour out your Spirit upon all flesh. You said you would. We expect it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. Glory to God.